Welcome back to Palisade Radio. I'm your new host, Tom Bodrovics, and I'll be taking over for Karim. I'm a junior mining investor and student from Western Canada. If you have any questions or suggestions about today's show, please feel free to reach out to me at tom@palisaderadio.com. Joining us today is Frank Holmes. He's CEO of U.S. Global Investors. He is a U.S. metals and mining top gun, and his weekly newsletter is read by more than 30,000 people in over 180 countries. How are you today, Frank?
I'm great. And I share with you that that readership is now 50,000.
Wow, that's excellent.
So it's growing.
So you can't believe everything you read on the internet.
That's right. It just continues to grow. I guess, you know, being a spokesperson for a long time on money supply, macro factors, etc., it's just been growing, which is good.
Recently, there's been a lot of updates with the coronavirus. I figured this was a timely discussion considering everything that's going on with that. Copper prices have plunged more than 12% already this year, and they seem to have recovered a little bit. Do you think that the recovery is going to continue, or do you think there's going to be more of a downfall in everything?
I think you have to recognize that copper is highly correlated to Purchasing Manufacturers Index. And the PMI was falling until about a week ago. The U.S. was below 50, and the data came out that it finally surged above 50 because the trade war settled. And this is very important. I've written about it. If Trump is to not win the election, it would be something like the PMI unraveling. And PMI is Purchasing Manufacturers Index, and it's a wonderful leading indicator that's highly correlated to commodity demand. So when the global PMI, not just the U.S. PMI, the global PMI, when the 1 month is below the 3 months, historically copper, oil, they all fall. And Germany is below, the U.S. was below, China is above. So to me, it's in a sort of a very tight zone. And that's why copper came off. Now we could get a bit of a bounce here because copper, the PMI of the U.S. finally turned above 50.
China recently announced that they're cutting their tariffs by 50% on U.S. goods. Was this just a reaction to the virus to help keep things stimulated, or was it to just help out the relations between the countries with the trade disputes?
Yeah, I think it's just trying to show good faith and spur economic activity because the coronavirus is a pretty serious issue. But, you know, last week I wrote about my experience. Every year I go to Harvard with a group of CEOs, 180 from 50 different countries, and we do case studies. And it was interesting because one of the CEOs is a prominent multi-billion dollar company, and he's a founder of it. And he was telling me that they found that these rioters in Hong Kong were also the same rioters that showed up in Barcelona and in Chile from films. And they found out that it's a place in Norway, the land of peace, that's anti-oil, to me was most interesting. They're training for these violent protests. And so I think that that's put a lot of stress on China, and they've been very temperamental, tempered themselves in a very subtle way of dealing with Hong Kong. But there's something that's going on. There was rumors where it was George Soros that was trying to break the peg of the Hong Kong dollar to the U.S. dollar, and what would that do to the gold market, et cetera. So there's all these different mixed currents you have to deal with. So the coronavirus is significant for the following couple of factors. One, it's not SARS. And SARS was they said, man-made, and SARS was what was different about it is that it didn't really impact flights. And that coronavirus is much more like 9/11, where flights are being canceled, in particular of Asia. So the Asian airports, which are public, Asian airlines, they're the ones that are really taken on the chin. And I track this with my Jets ETF. And the North Americans haven't been, they've stopped the flights coming directly, but there's such a strong economy in America and in Canada that this activity has not really impacted them yet. And in Europe, for the major airlines. So I don't think the collateral damage is there, but there's a great worry. And you're seeing that the feds are at unprecedented levels of putting repos, that is flooding the system with cheap money to keep it going so there's no crisis because of coronavirus. Whenever you get this massive money printing the way they've been doing, it's great for gold. And it's a big shot in the arm. PMI numbers being sloppy as they are, that's also great for gold because bad news is good news. And that is they're going to drop interest rates or they're not going to raise them. And with all this sort of funny money printing, it makes it very good for the price of gold.
Speaking about your JETS ETF, how do you go about choosing what companies to put in there? I recently saw that, for example, Air Canada got a big bailout by the Canadian government. What makes the basket of companies that you have in there different than something like Air Canada?
Well, first of all, the structure is 80% are U.S. companies, 20% are foreign, but 70% of their names are foreign. So when we went foreign, we picked 20 stocks. And those 20 stocks are capped at 1%, and each quarter they're rebalanced based on a set of factors like load rate they're carrying, how expensive they are on a cash flow revenue, and a cash flow return on invested capital. And the cash flow return on invested capital is very, very important. And the growth in revenue with the last quarters above four quarters is important to attract money flows.
So with all this negative news about the global economy, how do you see that affecting gold?
Well, you know, I come back. Sorry, I wanted to finish my thought on the JETS. So what happens is that JETS is unique because this risk of Air Canada is capped at 1%. And Air Canada would only make it if it had high cash flow returns on invested capital relative to all the other foreign airlines or airports. Who's making it are airports in Mexico. They're public. The U.S. are not public. Canada's owned Toronto by a private equity firm. But there are many high-quality airports around the world which are public. And they function and run themselves like a private equity fund. And they have a CAGR of 15% a year. That means every 5 years they double in the revenue and their cash flow. So with that, what you see is that we used to own Asian airports, we don't own any of them. And the Asian airlines have got bumped out because they started feeling this pinch. And so I think that this is an important factor that it's Asia and that China is going to do everything to try to stimulate to maintain its relationship within Asia. This is all good for gold because not only are we at unprecedented repos, the EU is still flooding money with zero interest rate bonds. And now China has to print $1 trillion to keep the economy going. This is excellent for the price of gold.
Okay. The gold price seems to be inversely correlated with government bonds. Do you think that things are stable for now or are they going to fall some more?
So I think that we're in an election year, and that means we've got to have a strong economy. That's what usually happens. And there's greater fears for the federal government because the Federal Reserve is basically the U.S. dollar is the currency of the world. And last year, trying to pull the punch bowl away from the world's liquidity, the biggest currency of trading is U.S. dollar, they were basically pulling money away, and that caused a real economic trade issue besides trade wars. Now, in the past 6 months, this repo market, as they follow, has been putting unprecedented numbers, and you've seen this for the past 3 weeks. So the coronavirus is stimulating the Federal Reserve to keep liquidity globally, and this is all good for gold. And the concern of China's economic position and the Europe means that bad news is good news, that rates are not going to rise, and if anything, they can fall further. So these are sort of really important factors when you look at the price of gold. That's a bullish case.
Do you see some of this liquidity coming into other markets such as Bitcoin or HIVE?
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Who mines through the biggest miners and cheapest chips, et cetera, come out of China, and they can't get to work. And so you're reading articles, so all of a sudden their production of coins, the supply, is all of a sudden dried up. And you have your normal demand that pushes the prices higher. So to me, that's an interesting factor that you're seeing. And I think that there's lots also governments around the world talking about coming up with policies for crypto. That's all bullish for it. And we've seen that in the mid-January, Ethereum, which we predominantly mine in Sweden and then to Iceland with green energy. And we're the largest, we're 3% of the world's Ethereum production. It broke above the 50-day moving average, just like gold. And Hive just took off. The volume doubled. It went from 1 million shares to 2 million shares a day. And now it's averaging over 10 million shares a day. In a couple of days in the past week have been 30 million, 40 million share days. So we're seeing it show up in Hive. Our revenue, our profit margin has expanded dramatically with the Ethereum going from $1.35 up to $2.70. You know, that's a big spread.
Do you feel that it would be better to be to own stocks like Hive or to be in the cryptos themselves?
Well, if you're afraid of opening an exchange, going to open an exchange to buy your coins or going to Jax and trying to buy your coins, then Hive has become the proxy. And Hive correlates 80% of the time on a daily basis with the direction of Ethereum. So I think that Hive is a great proxy tool for those that like to buy stocks.
Is that somewhat related to, let's say, miners and gold? Can you draw that same comparison?
To a certain degree, you know, they're alternative asset classes. If you remember that viruses can't attach themselves to gold and silver, but they can paper money, and they're not going to be able to do digital money, but they can for your phone, the plastics. So I think that gold and silver have this fear trade, which is negative interest rates, is helping drive it. But I think that when we look at Bitcoin and Ethereum in particular, they both remain very positive and in their price direction. And we're seeing profit margin expansion in a lot of these commodities like Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Dudley Baker mentioned on a recent interview that he saw you on stage in Las Vegas at a conference talking about collecting junior mining warrants. Is this still a large part of your strategy going forward in the precious metals space?
No, it's really not. It's changed. One of the things when I launched GoAU, I spent 8,000 hours backtesting the factors that picked gold stocks better than others, and I was able to distill it down to five. And what I found was this: it's more important to have factors like revenue last quarter above four quarter average and cash flow last quarter above four quarter average on a per share basis. And what's happened is that so many stocks in the GDXJ have diluted themselves with silly financing. That is, they go raise all this money, but they've not found new production or they've not increased their reserves. And that hurts these stocks. So the quant funds are very, very important today. And they're 70% of all stock trading. And they look at metrics very different than the old gold sales analysts. And I think that's another real significant differential. So when we look at the quant funds when I launched GoAU, it would outperform, the model said, the 92% of time against the GDXJ. So we launched it for the past 2 years. That's what it's done. And I think that anyone looking at mining stocks, et cetera, they're very disciplined. What they're doing with that cash they're keeping, is it just trying to get a higher yield or is it positioned to tap into the markets right away to borrow from?
If you were looking at any financing and it had an attached warrant, would it make you suspicious of that deal?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, if it's listed, it doesn't bother me. You know, one thing about listed, I was an early adopter and user, and it helped my funds win so many awards where I would fund a company when no one had capital. And I would put it up with a share and a warrant. And then it became a share and a half a warrant. And I always use the volatility of 30. And I could turn around in a rising gold market. The stock would triple. And then the warrant would all of a sudden be worth tenfold. And that gave me huge performance. I think today we're wrestling with these liquidity issues. So unless the company can really get a lot of liquidity and where you have hedge funds trading those shares and the warrants and you have retail people, it has to have a great PR and a great management to be able to track that.
While you're speaking of these quant funds, is there a large difference between, let's say, a quant way of looking at things and a pure technical perspective?
Very much, because the technical person is going to use simple moving averages and MACDs, etc. The quant funds are able to look at press releases and go back. And I remember a study done years ago by Barry Cooper. They looked at 7 headlines, and he did it laboriously. It took him 6 months to do it, to show that the stock with these headlines would fall over 2 weeks, 27%. And now they fall in 2 minutes because a quants have memorialized it. And when those words show up in a press release, they immediately start shorting the stock down. That's how it's so important to recognize how, for say, Hive's exploding volume is because it's a proxy for the blockchain, and it attracts those people who trade its stock around for that liquidity.
Excellent. Would you mind giving us an update on GoldSpot?
So when it comes to GoldSpot, there have been some great press releases by Gran Colombia. Gran Colombia is the biggest gold producer in Colombia. The other Continental Gold was bought out by the Chinese. It makes Gran Colombia worth 3 times the price it's trading at. They used the service. They loved it. It's one of my favorite holdings. They have gold notes listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange that pay out almost 1% a month. I love those. And now you're sitting around Yamana making press releases that they helped them find a new discovery. And one of their holdings is private going public is Newfound Gold. Using AI and machine learning, they've been able to identify a mega discovery. So I think that the GoldSpot's PhDs are just a phenomenal young group of resource, disciplined scientists that no one else provides that services. No one else. Some other people are trying to market themselves, but no one has the group of PhDs. And Gran Colombia is telling me about the quality of the workmanship presented to their board, to their geological team, was just an over the top. So I think that GoldSpot's one of those special stocks that all of a sudden are going to explode and capture the imagination of people.
Do we have any news to look forward to coming up?
They made a press release here recently on Pacton. I think that's something that's very, very exciting for them in a major gold camp area. I think just stay tuned to it and what they're doing. And I think, you know, once they have one of the royalty properties they have, like Newfound Gold, which they've earned a royalty on, it has a big explosive discovery from additional drilling, then it could make, you know, a GoldSpot worth a 5-bagger. That's what it has the potential to be.
Just simply from Newfound Gold?
Yeah, stocks like that. You know, they punch another 3 holes like they just found. They announced it before Christmas, then I think that's a stock that all of a sudden can be a game changer because of the imagination, because they get a royalty on it. Now, that's going to take a long time to get cash flow from that royalty, but it looks like it could be a royalty that can last a long period of time. That's what be long.
Do they hold more royalties than just Newfound?
Yeah, they do. They have a royalty on Pacton. It was the press release, and they have a couple of ones out there. The best thing is to go to the website and see their presentations and how they're using AI to basically be the frackers of the oil industry. And no doubt, U.S. fracking was the revolution that changed the supply-demand dynamics of OPEC. I think that companies like GoldSpot will do it for mining.
Excellent, Frank. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that this is going to be one of those great years. I mentioned earlier, I lost my train of thought. I remember now. The DNA of volatility. Let's come back to that thought process, which we talked about earlier. And I write about it on my website. The DNA of volatility of gold is plus or minus 1%. Gold stocks are plus or minus 3%. And it's important to recognize that, and Bitcoin is the daily volatility is 4%, not 1%, not 3%. And so when we go and look at these junior gold stocks, they're way underloved. They're still, if you look at Bullion divided by the TSX gold index of stocks, they're at an all-time low. So the big upside is going to be these stocks. That's where I think with the rise in the price of gold. And I think people have to recognize that DNA volatility when they want to trade around those positions. And you're seeing that, you know, more money's gone into trading triple bear and bull gold ETF, and then this unprecedented numbers of speculation that's not gone into exploration. Everyone's speculating around the price of gold and the gold producers. But I think that that's going to change, So what is that DNA volatility of gold over any rolling 12-month period? Plus or minus 20%. So that means 70% of the time it can go up or down 20%. Well, a 20% move tax on $200. A 20% $300. So you can see gold hit 1900 this year.
And is that still applicable in a big gold, in a big bull market?
Yep, very much so.
We appreciate you coming back on the show, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Great to be with you.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?